The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
We'll stick with musical issues, actually, because I'm joined now on the line by Andy Irvine. And lots of you will know Andy Irvine, maybe through his work with Plangsty or some of the duos like Donal Lunny and Paul Brady and others. Andy, you have had a rather negative experience with Dublin Airport, I understand. Is that right?
Well, you know, it's not necessarily Dublin Airport, because I flew from Dublin on three separate flights to Denmark. So it might be in Dublin Airport, and it might be in Frankfurt Airport, and it might be in Copenhagen Airport.
So
I've lost my two musical instruments.
Okay, so what have you lost? What instruments?
I've lost my guitar bouzouki and my mandola. These are the two instruments I usually travel with.
And when did this happen?
Well, it happened on the 29th of June on my way to a festival in the north of Jutland in Denmark. And I checked in with my two instruments in the oversized baggage, or the fragile baggage, or whatever they call it. And I have not seen them again since, and that's 13 days ago now.
So you checked them in Dublin, you had three flights, you ultimately got to your destination, and you're standing there waiting for them to appear, and no sign of them.
Exactly.
And what's the you'll have to educate me here, Andy. Like, what's the process then? Is you go to a desk, I'm sure, you inquire, and the hunt begins, and then what?
Well, that's exactly what happens. You go and report missing baggage to the airline that brought you to your final destination. So, like, my two main flights were on Lufthansa, but my third flight was on SAS. So I went and reported it to SAS, and they put up a page that I can look at every day, and every day it says the same thing: tracing continues, call back later. And so, there's no phone, you can't get anybody on the telephone anymore anyway. But
you have no way. So that's a fortnight ago now, almost exactly.
Yeah,
and you have no way of knowing if they ever left Ireland. Maybe they did leave Ireland.
Exactly.
Maybe they reached Copenhagen and they're lost somewhere there or somewhere en route. You have no idea where these two instruments are.
No, I have no idea whatsoever. They have not traced them. And I would have a suspicion that they didn't ever leave Dublin. My wife's suitcase arrived, but not my true instruments.
Right. Okay. So some of the luggage obviously made it the whole way through, but not those two instruments. Do you mind me asking, like, what's the value, the monetary value on those two instruments?
Well, it doesn't really matter what the value is. First of all, after 21 days, they will consider them lost. And I'm not sure if that means they stop looking for them, but it means that I can put in a claim. But under some convention or other, the maximum that I can be paid is very little. And it's not money I want. It's my bloody instruments, you know.
Have you been able to perform? Did you get replacements? How did you manage?
Well, some kind people lent me instruments that were vaguely like my own in Denmark. And yes, and I managed to play my concerts there. Not to my total satisfaction, of course, but and I have no work now for the rest of July. So, I mean, and I have other instruments, you know, here at home. So I'm not desperate in that way, but I am desperate to get my two favorite and best instruments back.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't have a musical bone in my body, Andy, but I'm sure for someone with standards like yourself, I mean, that there's a particular attachment to
absolutely
your favorite instruments,
yeah.
Is there?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, you know, I think that they are basically irreplaceable, because the man who made them does not make these instruments anymore. So they are fairly unique, if one can use that phrase, which...
I'm sure, no, they must absolutely be unique to you, at least. I mean, I know
absolutely.
You say so you get on to the last flight that you were on, SAS in your case. Have you tried to just contact Dublin Airport yourself, or have you asked anyone to contact them on your behalf? Is there any word from Dublin Airport as to whether they can confirm. Yeah, listen, I can tell you, we got them out of here anyway. After that, who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, when we came back a week later, and we had to wait about 2 hours in the baggage claim area because it took 2 hours for the carousel with my wife's suitcase on it to start up. And in that time, I was able to walk around the baggage claim area, and there are piles and piles of baggage in every corner there. And I looked very carefully, but I did not see my instruments.
Okay, so the hunt continues, and as you say, in about, 7 days' time, they're officially lost, and whether that means they stop looking for them or
well,
not.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if it means that or not. But it means I can put in a claim, which I assume terminates the whole tracing performance. Like,
yeah, one would imagine they're not going to keep diverting resources to look for instruments if a claim has already been put in on them. And as you said, the claim wouldn't cover the cost, and it's not the issue of the cost. It's that these are unique instruments to you. Well, listen, for what it's worth, we'll get a question into Dublin Airport, see if they can confirm whether at their end they have any knowledge as to whether these instruments left Irish soil or not. I'm joined as well on the line now by Peter Lebas, just to give people a sense of the other problems at Dublin Airport. Peter's the CEO of Lebas International. So they're a charter airline business. They're based out of the States, and they have customers that have included the US Ryder Cup team and United, Manchester United, Madonna and others. And Peter, I understand you've been trying to land charter flights at Dublin Airport. Your airline, rather, has been trying to land, not you personally, charter flights at Dublin Airport in recent times. What has happened?
Well, we have, this weekend, for example, we have six jets which we'd like to take in, the large VIP jets, and we have approximately 600 passengers which we would like to Dublin Airport to handle for us. Unfortunately, there's just not enough handling in Dublin Airport. I guess the handlers are overwhelmed. This causes a huge problem. You know, these passengers are coming in. It's an expensive tour to do in Ireland. We almost had to turn it away. And this is the third weekend in a row that we've actually done this. As it happens, Kerry International Airport, and a big shout out to Howard Jones of Kerry International Airport, saved the day. He actually answered the phone and he said, "You're very welcome down here." So we sent the majority of the aircraft into Kerry last weekend. And we'll be doing that again this weekend. But we wanted to go to Dublin. Dublin is where the passengers actually need to be. We've got a couple of flights. We got into Shannon, we got one into Cork, and Dublin is actually where we need to be. But it's just a terrible shame. We can't make the passengers where they actually want to go. It involves an extra 3-4 hours of travel on the buses. It's not that, you know, it's not that suitable. But
no, I wouldn't. I'm just back from a week in Kerry, a lovely part of the world. But if you were expecting to go to Dublin, and I just looked from Dublin Airport to Grafton Street on Google Maps, it says it's a 29-minute drive. From Kerry International Airport to Grafton Street, it's a 3-hour, 27-minute drive. You'd be fairly annoyed if you land and you're told, by the way, that half-hour drive is now a 3.5-hour drive on a bus. What's the excuse been given for the reason you can't land in Dublin?
Well, the handlers simply just don't have the manpower to handle it. Now, as it happened, I owned a handling agency in Dublin Airport back in the early 2000s. And I'm fully aware of the employment, I'm fully aware of training and getting the passes. And this was an issue that it didn't just pop up this weekend or last weekend. 2 months ago, we saw this coming. We saw this as being an issue. If it was my company, I would be hiring people. I would be training them in advance. If they have the staff numbers and they just can't get the staff to show up to work for whatever reason, well, maybe they need to pay them double time. I don't know. Maybe the staff just for the cost of petrol is not worth driving across the city. There might be some reason like that. Maybe they're paying minimum wage. I'm not sure.
I was just to clarify for people, like, the issue isn't that there's not capacity on the runway. I mean, that there's enough space on the runway and there's enough time between flights that planes can land. It's just that there's no staff to work those planes, if that's how we'll describe it.
Yeah, I guess during the pandemic, a lot of people were laid off and the numbers hadn't come back. But this was, you know, this was seen to be a problem 2 months ago. And all the messages that came out of Dublin Airport and the handlers where we're handling it, we see it coming, it won't happen again. And it's as simple as managing the staff, getting more staff in, getting whatever it takes. I mean, we're an international airport here in Dublin. It's our high season. We rely on tourism in Ireland. It doesn't bode well for the large groups that have made a plan to come to Dublin. I certainly hope they'll come back next year with another group. But it looks unlikely at this point.
Because I was going to ask that. I mean, if, and I don't know what the situation is, but just for argument's sake, let's say one of those flights is just chartered by an individual company. I'm sure the very first thing they would say to you were you to go back looking for that business next year is, hold on now, Peter, are we going to actually land in Dublin this time or are we landing down in Kerry again?
Well, exactly. If it was up to me, I'd be pushing for Dublin again, of course. Kerry International Airport has done a brilliant job handling us this week and last week and hopefully next week as well. But ultimately, it's not what the customer wanted. The customer wanted to go to Dublin Airport. And it's caused a huge problem for us, absolutely massive problem, coordinating everything from the buses up and down and coaches. And, you know, we're talking about VIP clients. We're talking about VIP aircraft. These are not, the pack them in cattle aircraft. These are all first class seating. It's a beautiful aircraft.
All right. Well, for the time being, it's the likes of Kerry and others who are going to have to try and accommodate you, I guess, Peter, because I don't see that the staffing shortages, that problem being solved anytime soon. Peter Labatt is the CEO of Labatt International. Before Peter, we were speaking to Andy Irvine as well, the musician. Andy was telling us about his musical instruments, I think about 15 or 16 grand's worth of musical instruments that went AWOL while he was flying from Dublin to Copenhagen. One listener saying, DHL couriers are great to ship your luggage. They'll pick it up from your home and drop it to your destination. A great service. If you're in that situation, look it up online. 53106, the text number. If you want to get in touch, maybe you too have had pretty negative experiences with your luggage going through Dublin Airport, do let me know. In the meantime, most people are getting in touch about Gen Z and the accusation that they are nothing when compared to their millennial elders. And Niall says the older generation are reaping what they sow. High rents increased by so-called mom-and-pop landlords over many years means that the low wages in hospitality can't support rents. My experience of young people is that they are very hard workers, so says Niall. Another says, my generation ruined our kids by doing everything for them. I have wonderful kids, but they are clueless. And another listener, hi. I think it's a mix of things in all working life. Young people have no incentive because they see things as hopeless. They can't afford to rent, buy or just live. They are all still at home, so they don't know how to be independent. The situation is only going to get worse until we can let them off again at 18 or 19. Still a lot of 30-year-olds at home with mam and dad. They simply do not grow up. 53106, the text number. Keep your views coming at a cost of 30 cent. After the break, we're going to be talking about Paul Mescal and his short shorts.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.